Thanks for joining us. It is now day 25 of Israel's war on the Gaza Strip, with the regime pounding the territory from the air, land, and sea. At least 11 Palestinians have been killed in the latest Israeli strikes. The relentless attacks have so far claimed the lives of over 8,300 people, including nearly 3,500 children. Another 21,000 Palestinians have also been injured. Officials in Gaza say more than 1,000 people are still missing under the rubble of buildings destroyed in the attacks. They say that Israel has dropped more than 18,000 tons of explosives on Gaza since October 7. Palestinians also accuse the regime of using internationally banned white phosphorus bombs in its attacks on the besieged territory. Al-Shifa Hospital is currently home to thousands of displaced Gazans who have taken shelter there after Israeli airstrikes left them homeless. Now the regime has threatened and told the besieged territory's largest medical center to evacuate. But Palestinians insist they will not leave and that threats do not frighten them.
Al-Shifa is the best and safest place for us, so we came here. Now the Israelis say that they will hit Al-Shifa. Whether they do this or not, this is what is normal for us now. The threats do not frighten us. Let them launch airstrikes as much as they want.
We want to die at Al-Shifa, despite all the threats and difficulties. We won't leave Al-Shifa. Where should we go? It is all the same death. We kneel only to God. We thank God for everything. May God bless us with martyrdom. We all sacrifice for Al-Quds, us, our women, children, and the elderly. We are all sacrificed for Al-Quds.
Threats do not frighten the people of Gaza, because we're a strong people. We have been steadfast all of our lives. We were born drinking salty water, and will do so now that there is no water. But we're steadfast in this land. We're not moving. They can slaughter, kill, do whatever they want, and we will stay here. We're not leaving. They, Israelis, want to displace us. But they're the ones who should leave. They're the ones who occupied us.
There are people here from all over Gaza who lost their homes. They are homeless now. There is nothing left. If they hit Al-Shifa, so let it be. We won't live here even if we are cut to pieces. We pray that these days pass. All those in Al-Shifa and in Gaza sacrifice for the resistance. Victory is coming, God willing.
The Palestinian resistance movement, the Islamic Jihad, has dismissed Israeli claims about making major advances in the ground operations in the Gaza Strip. A spokesman for Islamic Jihad's military wing said that Israel is depicting a false picture of its attempts to penetrate the besieged Palestinian territory. Abu Hamza added that Palestinian resistance fighters have inflicted heavy losses on the Israeli forces in many areas. He said resistance groups in Gaza will continue to confront the regime's ground maneuvers. On Monday, Hamas also said Israeli tanks that had advanced near Gaza were forced to retreat after heavy clashes. As we have been reporting over the past weeks, Gaza is suffering from a dire humanitarian crisis under Israeli attacks. The situation, in the words of the International Committee of the Red Cross, is worsening by the hour amid the regime's complete blockade of the Strip. And the handful of aid trucks allowed into Gaza through the Egyptian border are nowhere near enough, as tested by the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees.
The system in place to allow aid into Gaza is geared to fail unless there is political will to make the flow of supplies meaningful, matching the unprecedented humanitarian needs.
In his address to the UN Security Council, the UNRWA chief warned that basic services are crumbling while medicine, food, water, and fuel are running out in Gaza. He added that nowhere is safe in Gaza from Israeli bombardment, not even the south, where the regime has been pushing the people to go. The UN commissioner said not even churches, mosques, hospitals, and UNRWA facilities sheltering displaced people have been spared. In conclusion, Lazzarini called on the UN Security Council to demand an immediate humanitarian ceasefire, which he described as a matter of life and death for millions. The Israeli military has raised the home of the deputy political bureau chief of the Hamas resistance movement in a village near the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah. The house was demolished during an Israeli raid on the village. Our correspondent Mona Kandil gave us the details.
We are speaking about the senior Hamas official, Saleh Al-Arouri. He's the deputy leader of Hamas and founding member of its armed wing here in the occupied West Bank, and he's based in Lebanon. This morning, the Israeli forces raided the village of Arura, the village of Arura near Ramallah, and surrounded the house of Saleh Al-Arouri. However, this house had been vacant for several years, and they bombed the house, destroyed it, and caused severe damage to the nearby buildings, the neighbors' buildings and homes as well. These two weeks ago, the Israelis had already raided Arura, and exchange of fire have erupted. The Israeli soldiers had arrested a number of Palestinians. But this morning, before the Israeli forces raided the village of Arura, they dropped leaflets in the village of Arura and the nearby villages, warning the residents of the village and the nearby villages. Speaking about the Israeli aggression as well, also today the Israeli forces have raided several areas in the occupied West Bank, not only Arura, and arrested, according to the Palestinian Prisoners Society Group, the Israeli troops have arrested at least 38 people from across the occupied West Bank.
The Palestinian movement has dismissed the recent announcement by the Israeli regime regarding the release of an Israeli soldier during raids in Gaza. A Hamas official says the claim aims to undermine the impact of the video that has shocked the Zionist community. Over 200 people were reportedly killed or taken captive during Operation Al-Aqsa Flood on October 7. They include high-ranking Israeli military officials. Hamas has already released four captives on humanitarian grounds. This says that at least 13 have been killed, or captives have been killed in Israeli airstrikes in Gaza. The movement says it's ready to swap all the captives with 6,000 Palestinians held in Israeli prisons. The Russian president has blamed the U.S. and its allies for Israel's massacre of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, as well as many other deadly conflicts across the globe.
Behind the tragedy of the Palestinians and behind the massacre in the Middle East in general, behind the conflict in Ukraine, behind many other conflicts in the world, in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and so on, are the ruling elites of the United States and their satellites. This is already obvious to everyone.
Putin was delivering a televised statement to a meeting of Russia's Security Council, the government, and the heads of law enforcement agencies. The Russian president has added that American politicians are opposed to a ceasefire in Gaza.
They don't want lasting peace. They want constant chaos in the Middle East. Therefore, they do their best to discredit those countries that insist on an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, on stopping the bloodshed, and are ready to make a real contribution to resolving the crisis and not feeding like parasites on it.
Putin denounced the indiscriminate killing of the Palestinians in Gaza as unjustified. He also called for the creation of a sovereign and independent Palestinian state. WikiLeaks has issued documents revealing Israel's plan for forced eviction of Palestinians amid over 3 weeks of an onslaught against the besieged Gaza Strip. The verified 10-page document from Israel's Ministry of Intelligence was issued 1 week after the unprecedented Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. The advisory document outlines a forced expulsion and resettlement of Palestinians from Gaza to the northern Sinai in Egypt. According to the document, Tel Aviv would initially instruct the Palestinians to evacuate North Gaza ahead of its land invasion. The plan envisions the Israeli military launching land operations from the north in order to force the Palestinians to leave Gaza via the Rafah crossing. The outline also includes the establishment of tent cities before constructions of permanent settlements for Palestinians in Egypt. An official from Israel's Ministry of Intelligence has verified the document issued in Hebrew. The Palestinian ambassador to the UN has called on the Security Council to take action to end Israel's atrocities against the Palestinian people.
treat us as human beings with the respect we deserve. We are not subhuman beings. We are not from another planet. We are exactly like each and every one of you. We are humans, human beings. Treat us in this manner with respect we deserve. Show respect for our inherent dignity, not in words, but in deeds, in action, in doing something to stop this crime against our people and our children and our women and our wounded and our sick. No one should justify our killing or find reasons to give more time to the killer. Up and say the
resolution that Riyad Mansour was speaking in an emergency session of the Security Council on Israeli war on the Gaza Strip. He noted that the regime's strikes on Gaza amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity. The Jordanian UN envoy also spoke at the meeting and warned about the repercussions of Israel's war on Gaza.
The continuation of the raging Israeli war against Gaza and the ensuing humanitarian disaster threatens a spillover effect into the region. Here, we warn against this impact and its repercussions on the security and stability of the region and the whole world. Here, we call for a cessation of Israeli aggression on Syrian territory and a cessation on the Lebanese borders.
The Jordanian envoy urged the Security Council to hold Israel accountable and to punish it for the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians in Gaza. The Chinese ambassador also delivered a speech and slammed the U.S. for vetoing a previous Security Council resolution on Gaza.
The U.S. representative knows the best exactly what the U.S. did in the Middle East. The U.S. representative should also know very clearly that it is the U.S. that has vetoed the draft resolutions of the Security Council on Palestine and Israel, and that led to the difficulty of the Council to play a constructive, responsible role.
Russia's UN envoy also blamed the U.S. for ignoring the humanitarian situation in Gaza. Vasily Nebenzia warned that a humanitarian catastrophe on, quote, a biblical scale is unfolding in the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank. Iran's deputy foreign minister has warned Israel against continuing its deadly war on the besieged Gaza Strip. Ali Bagharikani said that if the war expands, there will be nothing left of Israel. Speaking in a TV interview, he hailed Operation Al-Aqsa Flood that was carried out by the Hamas resistance group against Israel on October the 7th. Bagharikani described it as a manifestation of the resistance front's intelligence and foresight. The Iranian deputy foreign minister likened the operation to an irreparable earthquake that hit Israel's security and military system. He also noted that the U.S. is responsible for the crimes committed by Israel due to its unwavering support for the regime. Iran has warned of a prompt and decisive response to any threat or aggression. Iran's ambassador to the United Nations said that Iran is Iran's inherent right under international law and the UN Charter. Amir Said Iravani made the comments at a UN Security Council meeting on Syria. He said the illegal presence of U.S. forces in Syria is a source of insecurity in the country and has bolstered terrorist organizations both inside the Arab state and across the region. Iravani also strongly condemned the continuous Israeli attacks on Syrian territory. He said the raids mostly target civilians and vital infrastructure and are a serious threat to peace and security in the region. People from all walks of life continue pro-Palestine demonstrations across the globe to demand an end to the Israeli bloodshed in the Gaza Strip. Hundreds of children in the Ladakh Union Territory in northern India have thronged to the streets to condemn the regime's genocide and the killing of children in the besieged territory. In the German capital, Berlin, protesters waved Palestinian flags calling for an immediate end to the Israeli onslaught against civilians in Gaza. In Canada, thousands flooded the streets of Toronto to demand a halt to the Western funding of Tel Aviv. They also called for an end to the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Similar rallies were also held in other cities around the world, including in Madrid, Beirut, and Islamabad. The demonstrators say that Western governments are complicit in Israel's war crimes in the Gaza Strip. Pro-Palestine rallies have been held almost on a daily basis since Israel started its onslaught on Gaza. The demonstrations are being held despite bans on such protests in several European countries. And that is for World News. Bye-bye for now.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Around 5,000 American military forces have been engaged in the ground operation the Zionist regime launched in Gaza on Friday, October 28. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Tasnim News Agency wrote, security sources told Tasnim that the Zionist regime's ground onslaught against the Gaza Strip involved three divisions and several brigades. The sources have also pointed to the participation of some 5,000 U.S. military forces in the Zionist regime invasion of Gaza. Tasnim had reported earlier that the American military commanders have practically taken charge of the situation in the Zionist regime army as the Zionist forces suffered a crushing defeat in the Al-Aqsa storm operation, and the Zionist regime leaders have lost trust in the management, abilities, and loyalty of a number of army personnel. As the Gaza Strip came under the heaviest bombardment since the Zionists waged a brutal war 22 days ago, the Zionist regime army made an attempt to enter the Gaza Strip from several areas, including Beraj, Beit Hanun, Beit Lahia, and north of Khan Yunis. The purpose of the Zionist regime army advance on those regions is to split the Gaza Strip into two or three sections and cut off the connection among the Palestinian resistance forces before launching the next stage of the war. The Zionist regime had put the same plan into practice in 2014, which had ended in failure. Every time the Zionist regime launches a land invasion of Gaza, its officials claim that the main operation has not started yet, describing the latest attack as being limited in scope or an extension of a previous operation. The Zionists have planned a propaganda campaign to whitewash the failure of ground invasion of Gaza and suffer less humiliation. The Zionist regime's bombardment of Gaza intensified after the military said it was expanding operations into the territory. The Hamas resistance movement says its fighters confronted the Zionist troops in various locations on Friday, October 28. More than 1 million Palestinian children and their parents are living through pure horror in the besieged enclave. Humanitarian group Save the Children said at least 7,326 Palestinians have been killed in the Zionist regime attacks on Gaza since October 7th. Meanwhile, Fars News Agency wrote, Commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, Major General Hossein Salami warned the Zionist regime against conducting a land incursion of the Gaza Strip, saying the Zionist regime troops will be wiped out if they choose to fight on the ground. Addressing a conference in western city of Khorramabad recently, Major General Salami warned the Zionist regime that if it decides to enter the Gaza Strip, the resistance front will turn the besieged territory into a graveyard of the Zionist regime troops. The IRGC chief said the Israelis have been defeated in all ground operations so far, adding the Zionists are incapable of fighting against Hamas. The land is the strong point of Hamas. He warned the Zionist regime that would be swallowed and buried if it opts for a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip. The top general stressed that the insane reactions from the Zionist regime and its sponsors to the exceptional, unexpected and surprising October 7 military operation reveal that the Zionist regime is confused and baffled and has lost its mental balance. He stated, "Today Israel is the scene of unrest and terrible nightmares. The European officials go there, Tel Aviv, every day to give them, the Zionists, artificial respiration and think how to make up for that heavy defeat." Denouncing the US, the UK, Germany and other sponsors of the Zionist regime for joining hands to kill the Palestinian children, the senior commander reminded them that Gaza will stand strongly while the enemies will have to leave the region, humiliatingly just like they did in previous wars. His remarks came as IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari has told reporters that Israeli ground troops will expand their military operations in Gaza. The Zionist regime troops have conducted several limited raids into the besieged enclave over the last days, but no major assault has been announced. As the Zionist regime has conducted heavy artillery and air strikes against the besieged territory, Gaza is approaching a near-total internet blackout as the region suffered its worst loss in connectivity. Fighting first broke out in early October on Saturday. Several United Nations agencies have also reported losing contact with the Gazan staff amid severe communications interruptions. Iranian officials say the current status in the West Asia region resembled a powder keg which could spiral out of control. They caution that if diplomatic efforts to stop Zionist regime relentless bombardment and prevent a ground offensive on Gaza are unsuccessful, there is a risk of the conflict escalating uncontrollably with multiple regional players joining the fight. On October 7th, Hamas launched a multi-pronged surprise military operation via land, sea, and air. The group announced it was in response to the storming of Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied East Al-Quds and the Zionist settlers' growing violence against Palestinians. The attacks have so far killed more than 1,400 and injured over 5,000, according to Israeli regime officials. Hamas also announced it is holding between at least 200 and 250 hostages. Following the multi-front attacks by Hamas, the fabricated regime of Israel carried out heavy bombardment across the Gaza Strip, killing more than 7,700 Palestinians, including at least 3,100 children and over 1,700 women, and wounding over 18,000 others and leveling entire neighborhoods. Tel Aviv has ordered a complete siege on Gaza, saying it would halt its supply of electricity, food, water, and fuel. The Zionist regime's military has also ordered 1.1 million people living in northern Gaza to evacuate their homes amid signs it is set to ramp up its offensive. The bombing, as well as enforced displacement orders by the Zionist regime army, has pushed 1.5 million people out of their homes.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, the Israeli regime will never recover from what happened to it on October the 7th. The Palestinian resistance operation on it, or what has happened to it since then. It has been failure after failure. Yes, the regime has killed over 8,300 people, but it doesn't take military or strategic expertise to bomb civilians and homes. Their image, the Zionist image that they spent hundreds of millions on trying to create, you know, the one, the only democratic country in the region with the most moral military in the world, has not just been tarnished, but has totally disintegrated. Its invincibility has been shown to be anything but that even on today, day 23, the Palestinian resistance repelled an Israeli incursion into Gaza and destroyed several tanks. I want to welcome my guests to the program and look at various aspects of this genocide on Gaza, but also on the resistance. I'd like to welcome Charlotte Cates, coordinator, Samadun Palestinian and Prisoner Solidarity Network out of Vancouver, and Don Gabar, activist and commentator out of New York.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Thank you both for being with me. Pleased to see both of you. Well, I'm going to start this off with Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte, Israel has become a paper tiger. Is this connected to Washington's loss of power globally or not? How do you see it?
Well, I think it's very clear that what we're seeing taking place in Palestine today is it is a genocide, but it is a genocide being carried out by a wounded beast that has taken serious and indeed mortal blows from the Palestinian resistance and from the rising power of peoples around the world confronting imperialism and Zionism. And so the response that we have seen to the tremendous action of the Palestinian resistance on October 7th has been an incomparable outrage by the Zionist regime, the United States, France, Germany, Britain, Canada, and their partners, in order, to call for all kinds of violence and destruction against the Palestinian civilian population, in order to try to do anything to suppress the truth that was revealed on October 7th, which kind of showcased the strategic and military weakness or incapability of the Zionist regime, that despite all of these billions of dollars in weaponry provided every year by the United States, the occupation regime was not capable of meaningfully fighting back when it had to fight on the ground versus soldiers. So instead, it's resorted to the only power that it has, which is carpet bombing civilians from the sky and carrying out a genocide against the Palestinian population.
Yes, indeed. Well, Don, now the U.S. has responded to all of this by sending aircraft carriers, generals serving as advisors. Many say troops are actually American troops on the ground, although U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris has denied this. But according to the Washington Post, two U.S. aircraft carriers and their associated escort ships hauling some 15,000 personnel combined have been sent. Also, a task force of 4,000 Marines and sailors have been repositioned, and another 2,000 support troops have been put on alert. What do you make of all of this? And as an American, I mean, what's going on here?
You had to go and call me that, didn't you?
Well, you know how it is, Don.
there's a lot to all of this. Let's go back to September 22nd. When Trudeau and Zelensky, while he was on his last money-grubbing tour, were caught praising an SS, a retired former 90-something-year-old SS, Jewish person killer, Nazi from World War II in the Canadian Parliament.
Right.
And it's an awful, huge blowback from that politically for the U.S. war against Russia, which is its major project at the moment, and politically for the U.S. generally in the context of everything else that's been going on. Here we are, 8 days plus 30, 38 days later, and we have an article in the Jewish Chronicle today, for example, that basically points out that, this riot that took place in Dagestan, which Russia says was instigated by Ukrainian intelligence, which means U.S. intelligence, had people rioting and looking for Jewish people coming in on a plane, supposedly. And so this article says that, there's a tweet from one guy who's a Zionist, famous Zionist on Twitter, talking about pogroms in the history of Russia. And then it says, quote, "The Jewish president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, condemned the mob, saying appalling video from Russia where angry mob broke into the airport searching for Israeli citizens is not an isolated incident, but rather part of Russia's widespread culture of hatred." In other words, everything that they were caught doing, they're trying to push off on Russia, and that happens in the context of the battle that's going on. And it's like all these things that are going on, the incessant land theft in Palestine and the extinction, the genocide in the apartheid state that exists there, and the incessant drive towards capturing Russia that began with Hitler, really, and the U.S. has been trying to do ever since. they're on the run in both places. And it looks like somebody tried to make a grand stroke and fix all of it. But it's a really dangerous moment because they can't fix it.
Right. Well, at least not in the way that they're trying to do it. Charlotte, your take. I mean, I've been talking throughout the day about the Israeli regime losing the narrative. Now, you talked about more and more people taking to the streets and the outrage that has happened because, I mean, we're watching genocide real time. On our television screens. I mean, do you think that the Israeli regime can recover from this? Of course, as Don has just pointed out, they're constantly trying to put out false claims and again trying to play the victim card. But your overall assessment, now you're in Vancouver. I don't know how many demonstrations, if you guys have had any demonstrations in Vancouver. I have seen it out of Toronto. But overall, what's your assessment?
Oh, we had our last demonstration on Saturday, and once again, there were over 5,000 people on the streets, which is a tremendous number here in Vancouver to come out for anything. Many people who were participating said it was the largest demonstration they'd ever been to in Vancouver, or at least the largest demonstration since the movement against the Iraq War over 20 years ago. So these demonstrations in Vancouver, in Toronto, in Montreal, of course, in cities throughout the U.S. and cities throughout Europe, have been ballooning in size. I mean, last week in London, there were over 500,000 people on the streets. There were 100,000 out in Madrid. It's a tremendous amount of support and solidarity with Palestine. Of course, if you turned on state media or corporate media, you would be bombarded with nothing more than propaganda to promote and justify genocide, taking place by the Zionist regime with the full support of the U.S., Canadian, British, German, and French governments. But the fact is that people are not relying on what the media is telling them. In fact, they're quite skeptical about the lies and deception that have been promoted since October 7th and, of course, before and on so many other issues. From the war on Iraq to the drive to push for the destruction of Syria, the destruction of Libya. I mean, all of these things are things that were promoted through media lies. And that what we can see from these numbers in the streets is that people simply aren't falling for the media lies anymore. And they're recognizing that this is a genocide that's happening right now and that people have a responsibility to take action and to stop it rather than to allow it to continue. I mean, right now there's 17 Member of Parliament offices in Canada that are being occupied by supporters of Palestine calling for an end to Canadian complicity in Zionist war crimes. Just this morning, there were military facilities, weapons manufacturers, Elbit Systems in Cambridge, that there was a direct action by Palestine Action US to shut Elbit down there. This came the same day that people were blocking military contractors in Toronto and in Copenhagen as well. So in addition to the big mass demonstrations, there's a rise in direct actions directly confronting the involvement of the war machine and these ongoing crimes that are taking place in Palestine. So what we can see is that, like, at a mass popular level, the question is very clear. People are not coming out in masses and in thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands to stand with the Zionist occupation regime. People are coming out to stand with the Palestinian people. And this is creating a real crisis. And because it isn't possible to come back from the reality that people are seeing in real life in front of their eyes, on social media, despite all the censorship that exists, people are hearing directly from Palestinians in Gaza. People are hearing directly when people's internet and communications are silenced, when people they followed and read and become friends with for years are bombed and are no longer, and their lives and their families are gone. I mean, this is a reality for people, and it's not possible to just kind of bundle it all up into propaganda and wish it away. And so, no, I don't think it's possible for the Zionist regime to ever kind of launder its image again. So instead, what these states are relying on is repression, trying to ban demonstrations, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis threatening Students for Justice in Palestine, German police attacking demonstrations and banning them, the French interior minister threatening leftist political parties with terrorism prosecutions for speaking up about how Palestinians have a right to resist. They can't win people over through persuasion. So they're trying to force people over through constructing a police state in order to defend their Zionist settler colony in occupied Palestine.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
About that, Don. I mean, we are seeing the hegemonic front go full force with their support of this genocidal regime this time around. Not that they didn't support it before, but they try to have somewhat of a semblance of a say of a so-called process and human rights and the jargon that they usually use. But this time around, I mean, we're 23 days into this. And they're not even asking for a ceasefire, a humanitarian ceasefire. I mean, it's as if everything is just out in the open and forget Palestinian lives. Just go for it, and we have to shore up the Israeli regime no matter what it takes.
So last Friday, for example, the General Assembly debates and votes on a resolution, pretty generic resolution, not blaming anyone other than saying, ceasefire, sit down and negotiate. This is a very dangerous thing, and it's a very bad thing that's going on. It should stop. The United States, Israel, and 12 other countries voted against it in the 193-member General Assembly. Out of the other 12 that voted against it, six are part of the island chain that the U.S. used as a nuclear testing ground in the 1950s and 60s. So they're generally pretty compliant. Marshall Islands, Palau, et cetera. The other six, you had, some of the new NATO members, former Warsaw Pact members like Croatia and the Czech Republic and some others, the Baltics. The world is against this. Further, however, you know, it's one thing to abstain like most of the other European countries did, or to, to vote yes, but to do nothing to prevent this slaughter from happening. But you have a condition where the people who are already in the street over what's going on, where they've suffered now 50-something years of austerity, of a declining standard of living, exacerbated over the last 2 or 3 years by the war in Ukraine, to where they have to decide now for almost 2 years whether to eat or turn on the heat, and then out of much of the rest of the world. You've got a place like where the government was about to make some sort of a partnership deal with Israel, and the general population is ready to run to Gaza to defend it. There's going to be some governments that are going to be tipped over by the people themselves if they don't come down on the right side with some actual action. This is a period of great instability, and it's going to likely be one of great change. And I think that the governments need to be paying close attention to their people and start doing what the people want instead of trying to find ways to repress them, because you can only repress people so far. History shows us no one has ever been successfully repressed permanently unless you killed all of them.
Right.
The Palestinians are showing us that.
Indeed, indeed. And Charlotte, I mean, we've been talking about the genocide taking place in Gaza. I want to switch gears a little bit and look at the West Bank, because as all the focus is on Gaza, and of course it should be with this unprecedented situation that's taking place there. At the same time, the repression is so intense, so much more intense now. In the West Bank, as we know, 270 people have been killed this whole year. 122 since October the 7th have been killed in the West Bank, and they are being cut off from towns. I was talking to a couple of people in various areas earlier, and their lives are absolutely hell. And of course, and have been. It's not new. It's just a little bit more intense right now while the world is looking elsewhere. Your thoughts on that? And of course, one of the main excuses, we know the Israeli regime and Hamas, and there's no Hamas there in the West Bank. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, the settler attacks are running rampant, you know, throughout the West Bank. Settlers have been, you know, officially deputized into these militias. So just giving them kind of carte blanche, which they already had, but even more openly, to continue their violent attacks against the Palestinian population as a whole. We're also seeing these repeated violent military incursions. Since the 7th of October, there have been an additional 1,650 Palestinian political prisoners seized by Zionist forces invading every single night. There have been over 100 martyrs in the West Bank since the 7th of October. Just yesterday, there were 4 martyrs whose lives were taken by the occupation. There was a massive invasion of Jenin camp, where you saw that the occupying army was met with massive resistance, and it was forced to withdraw from the camp. But at the same time, you had they took this metal horse that had been constructed in 2002 in the central square in Jenin refugee camp, that had been constructed out of the wreckage of an ambulance that had been destroyed by the occupation military during their 2002 invasion of Jenin. And so they took a bulldozer with a crane and arrested this horse. And they took a huge bulldozer and they demolished the arches at the entry to Jenin camp, thinking that by destroying these symbols of resistance, they're somehow going to undermine the resistance of the Palestinian people, which is deeply rooted in the population. And of course, there are Palestinian resistance from Al-Qassam in the West Bank, but also from Islamic Jihad, the PFLP, from Fatah. All of the Palestinian political forces and resistance forces are united in confronting the occupation, and are united in confronting the occupation in Gaza and the West Bank and throughout occupied Palestine from the river to the sea.
Well, Don, we've seen this rogue entity, and not just what it's doing, of course, in Gaza and the West Bank. We see it regularly attacking Syria. We also now see it dealing with attacks in Lebanon. And, of course, now Hezbollah has also dealt with responding to those attacks. How likely is it that this whole situation will expand and explode in the region?
It's Israel's intent for it to expand, because it's Israel's intent to expand its territory. I mean, it's not a secret. They have maps, and Netanyahu was holding one of them up at the UN a couple of weeks ago. Last week, I guess. You know, Mint Press News released today a document they said was verified, an advisory document from the Ministry of Intelligence in Tel Aviv, dated October 13th. Gaza's residents are going to be forced to relocate to Egypt, and it said, quote, it would yield positive and long-term strategic results, close quote. The plan is to ethnically cleanse as much land as they can around that which they hold now. And we know, looking at the program of the Zionists going all the way back to the 19th century, Israel's a pretty big place in their mind, and they've got the military wherewithal to try to grab it. And it's a threat to everyone else in the area. It's a threat to Iran. It's a threat to Syria. They bomb Syria regularly. So, you know, they're doing this because they want to steal more land, and they want to drive people out. They don't mind killing people en masse in order to accomplish that, because God said it's their land.
Yes, yeah, so we've heard Netanyahu quoting from the Bible to justify his genocide, the entity's genocide this week. I only have a minute. Charlotte, your perspective, I mean, where do you see this going? Today was day 23. Over 8,300 people have been killed in Gaza alone. The Western hegemonic front is not asking for even a humanitarian ceasefire, but the people of the world, civil societies throughout the world, are becoming more and more outraged. 1 minute, your take.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that's very clear is that the Zionist regime has been able to, with the support of the U.S. and its partners, has been able to extract a tremendously awful price from the Palestinian civilian population and is intent on carrying out a full-scale genocide in Gaza. At the same time, it is also clear that this regime is incapable of carrying out a land invasion, and that it will be, and that every time that this army is forced to confront fighters on the ground, it faces defeats, it faces losses, and that we can have confidence in the strength of the Palestinian resistance and in the resistance forces in the region to repel this genocide and to repel this attack. And we all need to get out there on the streets and do everything to intervene to stop these assaults, which are and harming the civilian population, and stand in solidarity with the resistance that is bravely defending humanity in the face of injustice.
On that note, I thank both of you for being with me. Charlotte Cates, coordinator, Samadun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network out of Vancouver. Don DeBar, activist and commentator out of New York. And as always, we appreciate being with us. Goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan. La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio, we have Sheikh Karimi to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about a very controversial topic. We know that some people are born crippled, or we can say disabled. You know, and first the question is that what is the philosophy of these people being born? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends that such people are born in this way? Is there any sin done, for example, by the parents that the children are born in this way? And if not, why the child and the children must be, we can say, bearing such a difficult life up to the end of their lives?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's not limited to the children. I mean, many people in this world, they are innocent, but they are suffering from some problems. For example, we have oppressors in different parts of the world. They are oppressing the people.
Yes.
Now, the question is that the oppressed people are suffering. Why? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not preventing the oppressors? Or let's forget about the oppressors. We, on a daily basis, if we do not act upon our rights regarding others, I mean, I'm talking about haqqun nas, the right of other people, in one way we are, oppressing them. We make other people suffer. Now, the question is that when, for example, you do not act upon haqqun nas, the right of the people, that person is innocent. He or she has not committed anything against you,
yes.
But you are doing harm against them. Why? So it's not limited to the children. Having said that, basically the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ Chapter 10, verse 5. We certainly created man in the best of forms.
Mm-hmm.
So the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in and of itself is in the best form.
Is intact, in fact.
Exactly.
That's right.
Adam
okay.
alayhi salam and Eve, as the first two human beings, were born intact without
yes.
any problem.
Yes.
So where do all these illnesses come from? I mean, gradually speaking, in the history of human beings, with the interference of human beings, these illnesses were produced or created or, I mean, brought into the scene. For example, the effects and the side effects of some drugs and chemicals and pollution. Sometimes we have the tests of nuclear weapons, chemical weapons. And all these cases, and sometimes, parents drink alcohol and then a child is born, and so on and so forth. So my point
is
that
the mobile waves and the signals,
exactly,
radio ones,
that's
the point.
Right.
Okay.
So the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and was in the best of the forms.
Mm-hmm.
Then the human beings interfered in that. They, brought some corruption in the whole creation, and no one can negate that. And Allah said in chapter Shura, verse 30, that وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ Whatever affliction that may visit you is because of what your hands have earned. And also chapter Rum, verse 41, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ Corruption, fasad, has appeared in land and sea, and nowadays we see even the sea,
yes.
The negative effects of the actions of human beings. Why? Bima kasabat aydinnas, because of the doings of the people's hands. So, divine wisdom, divine creation is without any problem.
Mm-hmm.
When human beings are going to interfere, when they are going to corrupt, then this is the result of the human beings.
So sometimes it is a genetic problem.
Also, yeah.
For example, one of the parents has got a problem. So again, you won't say that this is not the problem of the creation.
No. If you study that case, the case of genetic, when you come to the origin of that problem, for sure, in that case, there has been a problem. I mean, it's coming from an issue, a problem.